Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
funny visual aids for remembering physics formulas. Now, why do you want to remember a physics formula? You can always look it up at the back or check it up. Occasionally when you're out running and you're thinking through a physics problem, you just want to have the physics formula in your head. Okay, you might be like that. You might be, say, studying, and you want to have a go at writing down the physics formula and then check up the formula and eventually go across. And you might be doing several problems one after the other, or fault finding, or reading someone else's work, or whatever it is. You want to know physics formulas. And learning physics formulas goes, initially, when you first learn it, it's everything is really raw. There's a time where it's familiar and you can look it up, and then there's this time where you actually just need something completely different to clue it in. And this is where I've come up with this blog page, which I'll send you. From 2011, I was a physics teacher back then, and I had students, and they needed a bit of relief, a bit of softness getting into it. So you can tell them a lot about science and stuff like that, or you can give them a bit of light relief and they can look at things and can say, oh, like that. And typically in any class you can only teach to 30-40% of the class at a time, and you have to come back, test, and then teach the other section. Eventually you get coverage. You have 10% at the end who you say, you know, what are you going to do about it? So this is part of the general broad approach, and I'll give you the a link to another blog page where the pictures are here for you to look at. So I'm going to describe it, so you're going to hear a few things, and it's not going to be a big shock because it's going to be all verbal anyway, so you'll be able to get it through. Now, one of the things I have to say before I go too much into it is that this is brought to mind when I was reading this other person's sort of Facebook synopsis of themselves, and they showed a few Facebook posts, and they were of visual clues which had a verbal story. One was a picture of their oven with a bun in it, and the idea was a bun in the oven. It was very obvious. Another one was of this tree which was in a square pot, lifted out of the square pot, and had the roots exposed, and the roots were all square, and it was square root. That's sort of things which are very obvious. Now, what happens is that one of the great things about the human brain is it can connect all these different things. With these people I have the jokes about, believe it or not, Roman numerals, matchsticks, all this type of stuff. Obviously, that type of thing I can't relate too much in a podcast, but I can go back to this picture. So you can imagine a picture, a word, and it's a gram. So for this one, I have the word, I have the mathematical symbol equals there. So, and this is sort of very typical of it in terms of the equals says it's a formula. And the very first one has the following pictures. It's got a set of jail bars that you have in a jail, but with them pulled apart so you can get through them. Then it's got a woman beneath that, directly a woman in a fur coat. And below that, the lost city of Michipichi. I can't pronounce that. It's a South American. See, and that equals, and around it are four roots, but they're shaped in the square, and inside of that are two GM trucks. Beneath that is a pirate, and the idea is how do you actually get from that set of pictures to a formula? And it goes, for the bars is the word escape, for the woman in the fur is fur, And for Mitsubishi is Lost City. So if you put those together, Escape for Lost City. Escape Velocity. There you go. So those three pictures, Escape Velocity. So the idea is that the actual things have a verbal word for it. So you have to be English or Australian to go like that. Escape Velocity. You know, g'day, mate. Escape. It's not velocity. It's velocity. You know, you've got to have an Australian accent for it. So that's Escape Velocity equals. So it's a formula. So that equals them. Now, the roots in the shape of a square is a square root of, and it's two GM trucks. So this is the way, this is a capital, GM is a capital G and a capital M for General Motors. So you have to also know that. That's a bit of a, in Australia, General Motors is Holden, so that's a bit hard to get, but GM, we do know that. And so that's two GM, and it's like all these cryptic clues, visual clues. You don't get it straight away, and sometimes you're really strange. And then that's sitting on top of a pirate, and pirates go arr. And so it's escape velocity equals the square root of 2gm on r. And what's the advantage of it? Well, A, it's sick. It makes you laugh. Now, if you can reject it as, oh, I hate this teacher, you know, saying this, what a waste of time, I want to be told it's in the back of the book. Or you can say, I can get that. That's a way of memorizing it, so I can actually look at it and, you know, chat to people. But it's a new avenue in inside your class, a new avenue inside your brain. So that's the escape velocity. I wonder if you can say that now. The escape velocity equals the square root of 2gm. G is the gravitational constant. I've forgotten what that is. I think it's 36. It's a very weak number. 6 by 10 to the minus 36. M, typically the mass of the sun. You know, it's, I think it's 10 to the 24. And R, or you could have it for the Earth. I forgot what the Earth is. Kilograms. It's all in kilograms and stuff like that. So escape velocity equals the square root of 2gm on R, the radius to the point. Okay, I said there are three, and the next one it's got a similar equal sign, so you know that it's there. So there'll be a link to this in the blog to get here. Is a sugar cube, so it's a cube of sugar over a square tea cup. Okay, so it's, you know, it's, you don't say the entire word, there's bits in there, equals a GM truck on four pies, and they're all square pies. Okay, so we'll go through this. This is Kepler's law of orbital motion, and it simply says that sugar cubed, R cubed over T squared. So what that means is that if you increase the distance from the sun by a factor, you increase the orbital time by that factor times the square root. So if I increase something by a factor of four times further out from the sun, the orbital period will be 4 times 2, or 9 times further out, it'll be 9 times 3, 27 times long as far to get it through. But that equals GM, which is the same gravitational constant times the mass of the sun, over pi squared. So you got the R there already. So 4 pi squared. So gets across. Now, again, that's a more, the first one is a bit more direct. This is a bit more complex. This is more a nudge in that direction. So I'll say that one again. R cubed over T squared equals GM on 4 pi squared. So that's the second one. The third one here is a little harder. A little harder, and I have to describe it. The first one is two pictures of a green plant, and you'd have to know this. The pictures of this green plant is the plant of fennel, and it equals a picture of Danny Kaye. So a modern student would not recognise Danny Kaye. You'd have to be a child of the 60s and 70s to know Danny Kaye. I think he was in the Talking Mule stories. He was a famous one there. I think in Hans Christian Andersen. The next one is this rather strange picture. It's a podium with two eyes on it. So this is a picture of a disembodied eye, and it's standing on a podium, I1, the first and second eye, and that next to it is a set of underpants, you'd say briefs, but underpants. So this again is a hard one. Fennel, so it's the force divided by L, Fennel equals K, as in Danny K. Now, K is an interesting number. We'll go about that thing. I1, I2, the current and the two rods, on D, undy, over D. To do it again there. Now, the K used to be 2 by 10 to the minus 7, and it wasn't a constant or a factor, it was an exact multiplier. Physics has just changed in the last year such that that is 2.0 by 10 to the minus 7. It's something measurable. We've decided that we're not going to use that number anymore. We're going to move across to two things. But I'm going to read that one again. That's Fennel, this is Ampere's law, Fennel equals K, I1, I2 on D. So that's to get through to it. So I hope you enjoyed that, and I'll publish this as physics brain teasers to get across. And again, there's heaps and heaps of stories where for almost every physics story there is, I have a summary thing that a dedicated student can say, I'll spend a minute remembering that, and then they've got, in terms of pacing, you've got one student who's got this versus a student who doesn't have it. They have got a sort of a greater confidence going into to physics problems. For band gap theory, I have a way of going through it. It sort of makes it's a scaffold which gets around band physics, I think, in general. Okay, thanks a lot for listening.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.